Thank you for joining me again today. When we left off last time, we were talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I shared with you Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. I hope that you read that passage again for yourself, and as Christian people, were obedient to what the Word of God says. The phrase, walk by the Spirit, in Galatians 5 is what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Submit to the Spirit's control in your life. Be filled with the Spirit. And if you and I will do this, then we will produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is beautiful and eternal. But if we will not walk by the Spirit, we will not submit to the Spirit's control, we will not be filled with the Spirit, then we will produce sin, and that's very ugly indeed. Christian friends, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will experience His power in your life. This is what the first Christians in the upper room in Acts 2 experienced, and you and I can also. That's where we left off for the weekend, and that's a great starting point for a brand new week together on God Is. And this week, let's return to our major focus, which is the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're blessed to be in dialogue about the presence of the Holy Spirit. We started off with Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit, and now we're deep into the presence of the Spirit, the promise and the presence. I have read verses 1 through 13 for you several times, and we walked our way down through the passage together. And the reason why we are here is because I'm speaking about the power of God. God is power. We witnessed God's power through God the Father, then through God the Son, Jesus Christ, and now through God the Holy Spirit in Scripture. What I want to do this week is to bring this series to an end by finishing my teaching on this portion of Acts 2. Then I want to give you some examples of the Holy Spirit's power in the lives of the apostles and disciples as the Spirit empowered them to do what Christ commanded them to do. I will finish off the week with some final comments on God who is power. Next week, we will be moving on in our ongoing quest to know who God is. Actually, for the next 2 weeks, I have a very special surprise for you. It'll be something I think you're really going to enjoy, but more on that later this week. I want to now give you some examples of the Holy Spirit's power in the lives of the apostles and disciples as the Spirit empowered them to do what Christ commanded them to do. But let me start with this. I am aware that so much more can and must be said about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Along the way in our series, I have tried to clarify only some of the confusion that has sadly been created in the church by poor teaching about who the Holy Spirit actually is and how He functions in the Trinity and in the lives of Christians. And we've covered a lot in this series. I have taught, for example, on what Pentecost is, who the people were in these verses, where they were gathered, how the Spirit came in power, what tongues are and what they are not, what speaking in tongues means, what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and more. So if you missed some or all of this, don't be disappointed. Every broadcast is also a free podcast, and you can get all of this teaching from the WEZE website. Just go to 590amtheword.com and click podcast, and then God Is. Listen or listen again, and learn about the Holy Spirit's ministry in power within the lives of Christ's people. In the future, we will come back to talk more about the Spirit, so stick with me. It's hard for me to be concise and disciplined in restricting our conversation to the power of the Spirit in these days together, but disciplined I must be. If our time together has raised questions for you, or if you disagree with me on something and you'd like to talk that out with me, just send me a note and we can have some dialogue. My email and mailing address will be given at the end today, so please do get in touch with me. Otherwise, I will say what I feel needs to be said this week, and I'll pray that God will use this teaching on His power in your life in a very real and meaningful way. I pray all the time for you, and my hope is that this time each weekday is not in vain, but that God's Word will not return empty, but accomplish the purpose or the desire for which God has sent it, as Isaiah 55 says. I pray this holy word will impact your life today and every day in remarkable ways. Come with me now, if you can, to Acts chapter 2 in your copy of the New Testament. Should you be otherwise occupied and unable to read along, listen now and read later. This is Acts chapter 2, and I want to pick up the reading at verse 1. I will read verses 1 through 4, and then drop all the way down to verses 12 through 17a. So I am reading the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 12 through 17, just the first part of verse 17. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Verse 12 of Acts 2. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind." I will end the reading there. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 12 through the first part of verse 17. In order for me to be faithful to teach Acts 2, verses 1 through 13 to you, I must deal with verses 12 and 13. I have not yet done that. So let's look at these verses together, shall we? After experiencing what they had with the coming of the promised Holy Spirit and all that amazing move of God entailed in verses 1 through 11, there were two responses. The first was amazement and great perplexity, and the second was, "Oh, they're just drunk." I am paraphrasing. The text says that others mocked and said, "They are full of sweet wine." This is still the way people respond to God. Some believe what God is doing and accept it with great amazement and also perplexity. And some doubt what God is doing and deny what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And it's this second group that came up with the response that all those filled with the Holy Spirit were just drunk. Sweet wine, you see, contained enough alcohol to make one inebriated. This is not to say the Jews who were full of the Spirit that day were out of control, in a state of disorder, or acting in erratic ways. Not at all. We have covered what speaking in tongues means, speaking in and understanding known, intelligible languages. What the statement, "they are full of sweet wine," reflects is rather skepticism over what happened at Pentecost as being from God. But in verse 14, Peter stands up and launches one magnificent sermon. And this inaugurates preaching sermons in the early church, a practice that is still and forever will be the heartbeat of the church's ministry. Every church, modeled on Christ's command for what the church will be, has the preaching of God's word at the centerpiece of its being. For the most part, we do not hear great preaching anymore, and that's a tragedy of epic proportions for the people of God. But I will resist using this as an opening to talk more today about what sound preaching is, where to get it, and how you will benefit from hearing it. Instead, let's look together at the content of Peter's sermon, at least these four verses that I have emphasized for us, in keeping with our focus on the Holy Spirit's power. I'll then take us from here to other texts in the Bible in the days ahead. Listen again to verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them. The 11 are the other disciples of Jesus, Matthias now having joined the group with Peter as their preacher. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem," Peter speaks to the crowd, "let this be known to you and give heed to my words." This is a Jewish expression that tells us Peter was without hesitation and strengthened by the Holy Spirit to speak boldly and truthfully about what the crowds were witnessing. He immediately dismisses the charge of drunkenness, Acts 2 verse 15, "For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. If we consider the third hour of the day as the Jews would, this was 9 a.m., 9 in the morning. That time of the day at this point in history was too early for even an alcoholic to be drunk, and this was also a festival, Pentecost, Passover, which meant there were certain restrictions in place from Jewish law that governed what could be eaten and drunk. So the first thing Peter does in his sermon, his first point, if you will, is to dismiss this false accusation from those in the crowd that were mocking the believers, now filled with the Holy Spirit, in Jerusalem. And Peter is going to then demonstrate with clarity what was actually happening that day. And he will do so by taking his listeners and us back to the Old Testament. Peter is going to do what all God-honoring preaching does: use the Bible to explain the Bible. That's right, using the Bible to explain the Bible, cross-referencing. He will make his point from the Bible they had up until that time, what is our Old Testaments. And if you want to read what Peter will quote from before tomorrow, then tonight grab a hold of your Bible and turn to the Old Testament book of Joel. Just read Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Joel, J-O-E-L. Joel is towards the end of the Old Testament, between Hosea and Amos. Read Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. Tomorrow, we will read Acts 2, verses 16 through 17, in light of Joel 2. By the way, believe it or not, and I can't quite believe it, tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of God Is, this broadcast. So join me tomorrow, and let's celebrate the one-year anniversary of God Is being on the radio and online as we continue to learn about our great and only living God and who He is.